You're listening to Tech with Heart, empowering business success in a digital era. Sponsored by Revelio, innovative software solutions that make your business come alive. Here is your host, international best-selling author, speaker, female tech founder, and innovative expert, Michelle Calloway.
Hello and welcome to Tech with Heart. I am your host, Michelle Calloway. We are all about empowering entrepreneurs to be successful in a rapidly changing digital environment. And today we're talking about pitfalls that you can avoid when you're starting up your own business. And I have a very special guest with me today who's going to talk us through which pitfalls are going to be most important to avoid when you're getting started. His name is David Lieberstein, and he is the CEO of Dream Product Guru. It's a consulting and investors business for startups. He really has a lot of expertise and past experience around this startup environment. He himself has 45 years of experience starting up different businesses and has sold over $100 million worth of products. And so now he wants to take that expertise. He's got a big heart. He wants to make sure that all entrepreneurs that step into this risky business of starting up their own business are successful. So welcome to the Tech with Heart stage, David.
Thank you, Michelle. It's great to be here, and I'm looking forward to sharing some of my experience and hopefully wisdom with people that are wanting to start their own business.
We are happy to have you because we need people like you who've been through the ringer. I mean, you've probably had successes. You've probably had failures. I'm assuming that's why you're talking about pitfalls to avoid. So let's just dive right on in. When people are stepping into becoming an entrepreneur for the first time, what do you recommend first and foremost that they work towards avoiding? What are some of these tips that you'd like to share with us today?
Well, first of all, you want to have a clear vision of what you want to create for your business. Personally, I've been involved in consumer product goods most of my life, so that's my focus on products and housewares, gifts, and other areas. But when you're starting a business, it's so easy to get caught up in your vision and myopic view that it's the best thing in the world, which you hope it will be, but it's very easy to get caught up and keep on throwing time and money towards a project before you vet it out to make sure that it's viable.
So lack of vision would be something to avoid. Like, you definitely, when it comes to avoiding a pitfall, the pitfall would be know what your long game is. Is that kind of what you're saying?
It's important to have a clear vision of what your business is before you put a lot of money into it. You can put a lot of time in. It takes a lot of time to start a business. But a lot of people, unfortunately, put a lot of money from their savings that they might not need to have spent because they don't have a clear understanding of what it takes to build their business, or they're not clear about what they're doing. I have a very good friend that he spent 5 or 6 years in different workshops and seminars and stuff he tried five or six different consulting businesses. Nothing really stuck because he didn't stay with it. So you have to have a clear vision, make sure you have a clear market for that by doing some market research in the appropriate areas, and then take step by step to get where you need to go without spending a whole lot of money before you know why you need to do it.
That's an important one. First understanding, you know, what you're building, and then make sure it's a viable product. Can you talk a little bit more about what kind of market research they should be doing?
Yes. I would say that most small businesses starting up are like a lot of folks. They don't have a big investor with hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars to help them get there. So if you got a big pocket, a big lot of money that's invested in you, not from your own savings, but investments in your idea and your vision, go hire the experts to do the market research for you. Most people have a limited budget of their savings, $10,000, $50,000, $100,000 at the outside, perhaps. A lot of businesses, particularly product related, you can start it, including your development costs, your molds, your production and website and such, for $10,000 or $15,000. The average is more like $50,000, give or take. People think they have to spend $250,000 to $500,000 to start a business. Not true, unless it's high tech or really expensive molds. So bottom line is, the market research part of it is that depending on who you think your customer is, you want to check with individuals and businesses that might be buying your product without giving away the secret of maybe what it is. If it's really unique and patentable, but you haven't patented it yet, you don't want to let the cat out of the bag, so to speak, but you still want to make sure that there's a market for your product or your service, and look at the competition that's out there already to make sure you're not duplicating, that you're coming up with something very unique. And the best businesses that I've found over the years for myself and my clients is to find a niche that's unique and focused. So you have a very clear, unique niche of clients to go after for your product or service.
That's really valuable information. Thank you. The niche down, as much as you can niche down and differentiate yourself from your competitors, is obviously a great start. But then let's just say you've figured out your niche and you're out there. I mean, what do you recommend when it comes to how much do they test the waters before they dive all in?
That's a good question. Personally, I feel that if you queried, you know, a handful of people, a couple dozen people, both friends, family, and business potential clients, without giving it away fully to businesses that might be unscrupulous. Most people are honest, but not all. you take one step at a time. And there's good books, there's seminars online, there's consultants and clients you can engage with to help you take those step by step to get to where you need to be to launch your product or your service. What I find is that some people spend a lot of time and money developing prototypes and designing and everything, and they could spend tens of thousands of dollars sometimes just to test out the product to see if it's properly, whether it's worth going for, and they've run out of money. I see other inventors, particularly, that they have a great idea, they find out it's patentable, and they spend thousands and thousands, sometimes 10, 20, 30, 40,000 in patent legal fees without even knowing if the product is viable, because they want to get all their ducks in a row, they want to cover all their bases internationally, and they just blew their whole savings. And it's really sad, but you know, you don't know what you don't know. So I always tell my clients and prospective clients, take your time, learn the steps, do your best not to just go off and spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars before you really know if you need to do that or not.
Let's just say you're a startup and you've built a product that you think is going to serve such and such an audience. That's your niche. You want to go find out, maybe go outside of your friendship pool, because sometimes, believe it or not, your friends may tell you what you want to hear versus what they really feel or think, because they want to show to be a supportive friend, but that's not doing anybody a favor if they're getting ready to dive their whole life into building a business. So it's sometimes good advice, I think, to step outside of your circle and go find somebody who you would consider to be a perfect customer of yours, and just ask them questions, maybe have a prototype built for them, and ask them a couple of questions. In my opinion, you should be asking them, would you use this to solve such and such a problem? Because you need to understand the problem that you're solving when you build a product. And then if they say, oh, absolutely, then you just say, well, what would you pay for something like this? That way you're also coming away from, yes, it seems viable, but then B, what you can start figuring out what your pricing is. And you would also want to know what your competitors that are even remotely close to you are charging, so that you can build that value statement in when you're pitching to investors, because they want to know, who are you competing with? Because nobody usually enters an arena in which they are all by themselves. What do you think about what I'm just sharing here, David?
Absolutely right on target, Michelle. You know, and to that point, particularly if you're going to go to investors or take money out of your savings, it's important to find out what is the target retail price of your product. And you typically, if you're selling also to wholesale, to business, the wholesale is half of your retail. And you need to know what your costs are to do a proper financial analysis to see how much money you're going to need to put this together before you spend all the money with the attorneys, before you hire the expensive consultants to do branding and market programs and such. So it's very important that you find out what it's going to cost you to make this thing. It's quite often, it might be the retail is $50, wholesale is $25, it may cost you $20 to make it. And you may have to invest $20,000 in molds. That's not a business that's going to be viable. You want to be in a profit, not a nonprofit venture, if you're taking money out of your own pocket or investors and family and friends. So it's very important to figure out the retail, what your wholesale is going to be, half of that, and then do your proper research, sourcing and such online, work with consultants, with friends and such, to figure out what's it going to cost to make this thing. Do you have mold costs? So it could be anywhere from $5,000 to $50,000 if it's something that has to be molded and created out of metal and plastic and such. And then you figure out what your web development is going to be, which could be $2,000 to $5,000, et cetera. And how much is your minimum inventories you have to buy, and what can you negotiate with the factories or with an agent to do it for you? You want to keep your costs as low as possible so that you limit your exposure and your risk, whether it's your money or investors' money. But you want to put all that together before you go out and spend, you know, half or all of your savings, because then you've gone all spent all this money and now you can't go anywhere because you did it before you know what you're doing.
Yeah, I'm in the tech industry. So especially when it comes to developing technology, brand new technology, I just want to share a little bit of insights as far as a pitfall to avoid. And that would be to figure out, after you did that market research and you went and talked to some of your potential perfect customers, asking them like, what would they love and benefit so much from this particular thing that you're building, the solution that you're building, I guess. And then beyond that, what would they pay for something like that? That will help you understand what your customer is looking for rather than what you think your customers are looking for. Because when it comes to especially technology, I know you talked about molds for products, but I'm talking tech now, and technology gets expensive very, very fast. And if you don't come to the table with a development company with a clear vision, going back to your original one, you need to understand what your ultimate goal is, but then the development team can help you realize what are the most imperative elements to build for what they call an MVP, the minimum viable product that you need to build in order to actually take it to market initially as a beta launch, and then just get that traction, they call it, in the market, where you are indeed solving some of the biggest pain points, but yet it doesn't have all the bells and whistles and features that you want to have long-term, but you need to prove that it's got viability in the market before you go and spend your entire wad. So again, I can't even express to how important it is to kind of do all of this homework ahead of time. It's kind of like putting together a plan, wouldn't you say, David?
Absolutely. And I was working in the fundraising area over the past few years, where I work with people that had tech, and you know, and they had spent anywhere from $250,000 to $2 million of their own investment and angel investors just to get to a beta point. And when you looked at the prospectus of the 10, 20, 30 pages of viability and market potential and such, when they're doing their first round A to raise 10 or 15 million or 30 million just to get to the first stage of development, you know, you've got to really know what you're doing to raise that capital to go forward. And as of people in tech know, you know, unfortunately, 9 out of 10 businesses aren't successful in that high end business because it's so, you know, elusive in a way.
Being able to do business online is crucial for survival, especially during times of social distancing. So how do you survive and thrive in the sea of digital noise? It's a lot like fishing. You need to know who your perfect customer is so that you can use the right kind of lure to attract them. We help you catch your perfect customer and retain them for future sales through highly converting websites, influencer mobile apps, getting you featured in the news and on TV. Hi, my name is Jerry Bowden, U.S. Army veteran and president of Revealio Software Solutions. Our goal is to help you rise above the competition, be seen as an expert authority in your industry, and embrace technology to stay competitive for long-term success. It's more affordable than you may think. So reach out to us at Revealio.com, and together we will make your business come alive.
Can you speak to us a little bit about like distribution models?
Yeah, again, my expertise is in consumer goods. So if you're creating a product this, you know, a houseware related product, you know, you're going to look at talking to both managers of small retailers. You're not going to go talk to a, you won't even get to talk to somebody that's at the Home Depot or Macy's buyer level yet, because you don't have a product to really pitch them. But as far as distribution, you're going to be your online direct to consumer with your website. You'll be in Amazon. You'll be looking at working with going to trade shows, either in person or online, that are specific to that industry. Hardware has their own shows. The houseware has their shows. Gift has their show, trade shows. And trade shows are still viable once we get past COVID. I'm doing my first show next month at the National Hardware Show for one of my products that I'm involved in. But that hasn't happened for a year and a half. But all the main retailers will come there to both independent stores and the big retailers. So they'll see your product, they'll talk, and then you follow up to hopefully get placement. And then beyond that, there's sales agents that will call on a specific industry for a commission, to call on houseware stores or gift shops or hardware stores or beauty shops or whatever. And of course, you yourself, if you have marketing ability, which you hopefully will, or have a team that knows how to do it, you let your fingers do the dialing and find those contacts online and make the phone calls and such to find out who the buyer is at those big box stores in your industry, and take it one step at a time. And it can sometimes take many months to develop those relationships, but it's worthwhile. That's what you're in business to do, is, you know, provide that wonderful product and service to the world, and hopefully make money at it for everybody.
You can't do all of that all at once. It has to like happen in stages. And so again, a lot of times we see small business owners coming to the table super excited and lit on fire for what they're built or building. And then they don't have the foresight to have like that whole distribution model kind of figured out, how they would roll things out in stages and incorporate the marketing along the way. I know when I first got started in as a tech founder with augmented reality marketing, I had like this one model, this one vision of how it was going to go. And when it didn't go that way, I like, holy smokes, I had to reevaluate everything in the midst of trying to also be in business, active business. That was not the best way to handle that situation. It's good to have like worst case scenarios, like, well, what if this doesn't work off? Then what are our other legs that we could, you know, potentially have built, so that we don't rely on just one or two legs to stand on? It's always nice to kind of have a plan A, B, C, and D. What do you think about that, David?
Well, absolutely. And it's also important, as you're going down the line of product development or service, and particularly once you launch, you find that you will continue to fine tune whatever you're doing. Even a couple of products that I got involved in, both one of my own products recently in the last couple of years, the Bonsai Urn, and a company I got involved as a partner and did all the work, and they put the money in for the Laundronette. As we went down the road over the last 2-3 years, we found that the market needed us to make refinements. And for both those products, they need molds, and it was a little pricey, but we found that what we originally designed with the product engineers was not ideal based on the customer feedback and the ease of use. So you're going to continue to fine tune the product, to fine tune the market that you're addressing. The Laundronette, we brought in our first container early last year, just as COVID closed everything down. And our plans were to go direct to wholesale, to retailers. So we had to pivot and figure out how to do it online, direct to consumer, for the last year and a half with Amazon and such. And it was expensive and challenging and not as successful as we hoped it would be. And we're relaunching in the wholesale markets now at the trade shows, at Hardware Show in October and Houseware Show in March. But the point is, you have to be willing to be flexible. Listen to the market and look at the numbers and listen to what your customers have to say and be willing to pivot whatever the market needs.
Pivot, agility. These are great words. Speaking of, you know, just the flexibility and whatnot, when it comes to funding, there's multiple different ways you can look at funding your business. And there are those that are feeling like they have an evergreen product or service, and they're going to need large levels of investment in order to grow at a rapid pace so that they could potentially really grab a lot of market traction before their competitors have even really kind of caught wind of it. So can you speak to us about some of the pitfalls to avoid when it comes to either funding through traditional means or investment funding a small business that's getting started?
You know, that's a good question, Michelle. You know, funding is often very challenging, depending on where you're at. You know, the banks will be happy to loan you money when you're growing very quickly and you've got a very good profit statement to show them. When you really need money, they don't really want to loan to you, particularly in these times. And when you're looking at investors to come in, similarly, they want to see that you have a good success story, that your traction is moving along, that the money that they're going to put in is going to take it to the next level, and that you're either showing a profit or you have a clear pathway to profit, or in tech, of course, that you're showing them how quickly you're gaining eyeballs and followers and such, with the ultimate vision of having enough people following your company and being clients that you can sell it off for a huge multiple downstream. In physical product, you've got to show a profit or have a clear path to a profitability before any new investors are going to be willing to take the risk with you. Even though you're the best thing in the world, if I'm going to invest money in your company, I need to see where I'm going to get my money back and make a multiple, just like they talk about on the guys in Shark and gals in Shark Tank. You know, it's not rocket science. And then, of course, you have crowdfunding, which is another way you can pre-sell your product on Kickstarter and a number of other platforms, which is quite successful for some people. And I've talked to a couple of people that have done very well at the launch. But when it's all said and done, if you do it properly to get enough people to see it and pre-buy your product, you have to treat it like a business, and you've been investing tens of thousands of dollars into promotion and getting the professionals to help you put it together, because it takes a couple hundred hours to put it together properly and advertise to get people to the site. And at the end of the day, they say they just broke even, but it got them traction, it got them sales, and they can take that. Well, we raised $50,000, $100,000 in fundraising so we can go to other investors and say, look, we pre-sold all this. You can put up your 50 or 100 grand or a million or whatever it is. So it has different uses, but it's not as clean as I thought it might be.
Video marketing is a great way to help people quickly get to know who you are and what you're doing, why you're doing what you're doing, and then the value of what you've built and what it is you're looking for them to do. I'm seeing a huge support happening in the realm of social media where it comes to somebody seeing something that they just get really excited about, and they'll share it out just to support young companies. So don't, you know, hear us when we say that there are some pitfalls to avoid. I would suggest you reaching out to somebody like David, because he's willing to come and meet with you and to kind of give you some guidance for free. So meet with him first, pick, you know, you see what you want to, if you want to work with him regularly to help guide you along the way. Because I know when I was first starting out, if I didn't have advisors, boy, oh boy, did I feel like I was just like a tiny little guppy in a shark tank world, you know, and you don't want to feel that way. You want to feel like you've got some legs underneath you. And that would be coming in the form of mentors and advisors. So here's when we say it's possible to be successful. It's just a matter of getting all your ducks in a row, having a plan, and then working alongside with somebody so that, because you're going to end up with question marks over your head on a regular, almost daily basis. And so you're going to want to have somebody that you can get answers from, you know, like David. So David, speaking of you, how would people reach out to you to connect with you, David, and just maybe have that initial consultation with you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I love working with people, and we have a consultation to find out what you're doing and how I might be able to help you with that. And the best way to get in touch with me, first, take a look at my website, which is dreamproductguru.com. You can email me, david@dreamproductguru.com. And I will definitely get right back to you. And we'll set up a time to talk on the phone or online like this, and explore what you're looking at, what's your vision, what are your challenges, and how I might be able to support you or refer you to people that could.
Yeah. Perfect. And then what is like a phrase or a quote that you would really want to like breathe life into an entrepreneur that's tuning in right now for them to remember and walk away?
Yes, it's great. Great question. I have a number of articles on my website, and one of the main things I have on there that I love to remind people is, when you have a vision, keep a positive expectancy about your vision, about your business, and have a determination to stay with it as long as it makes sense. But as a Mr. Wonderful says on the Shark Tank, know when to take it behind the barn and shoot it, you know, which out without taking it personal. Business is business. It's not your baby is your baby, but it's a business. It's not your child, a physical child. So don't get too attached, but stick with it and have positive expectancy, regardless of some of the negatives that people tell you, until it makes sense to go forward and spend your money and your investors or not. But keep that positive expectancy going.
Great words of wisdom there. If you're tuning in, whether you're watching us on television or whether you're listening to us on our podcast, just know that Tech with Heart Network exists to provide a safe, warm, and nurturing environment for entrepreneurs to grow alongside one another so that we can all stay competitive and relevant during these rapidly changing digital times. You know, it's not necessary for you to understand every single new technology that comes out or every single strategy that you need to implement in your business. This is a good community for you to ask questions and expect that you're going to get some answers. And it's not going to be all like, oh, come meet me and use my services. It's going to be like, hey, this is what I've done. This is what works. So if you really want to be in a supportive environment like that, I do recommend you go to techwithheartnetwork.com and join our heart-centered forward-thinking community. And if you're an expert like David and you have something of value when it comes to strategies, systems, or technologies that you would like to share with our entrepreneurial audience so that they can move the needle and grow their business and be more successful faster, then we need experts like you to come on to the Tech with Heart show and be an influencer in our community. Again, go to techwithheartnetwork.com, reach out to us. We'd love to have you on the show and share your expertise. And ultimately, we're all growing together. So here is to your success.